I'm going to tell you right now, if you try and talk to me later, stand close. My cold has moved into my ears, and I feel like Darth Vader with a bucket over his head. It's like, ooh. So my apologies if I don't hear what you say right away. I can almost hear what I'm saying is what is the problem right now. In 1964, Martin Luther King Jr. received the Nobel Peace Prize. And in the address that he gave in Oslo to the Nobel Committee and the King of Sweden, a portion of his speech dealt with the issue of poverty. King said, like a monstrous octopus, it projects its nagging, prehensile tentacles into lands and villages all over the world. Almost two-thirds of the peoples of the world go to bed hungry at night. They are undernourished, ill-housed, and shabbily clad. Many of them have no houses or beds to sleep in. Their only beds are the sidewalks of the cities and the dusty roads of the villages. More than 50 years later, 821 million people around the world, that's more than one in 10, cannot access the food that they need to live active, healthy lives. According to the most recent estimates, 736 million people live in extreme poverty. They are living on less than $1.90 a day. That's 10% of the world's population. At some point in the year 2017, which is the most recent year available for these statistics, more than 40 million people in the United States were unsure where their next meal might come from. This is an increase of more than 9 million people since 2008. Millions of people are struggling to get by because of underemployment, stagnant wages, and the rising cost of living. Food insecurity is a serious issue in our country. But as King said in that same address, there is nothing new about poverty. What is new, however, is that we have the resources to get rid of it. But will we? The poor you will always have with you. How can we fight a foe that is so pervasive, that is so enmeshed within our systems of government, commerce, religion, social values, and education? How can we possibly untangle the problems that have caused such extremes between the rich and the poor? How can we fight against poverty when we have been told, the poor you will always have with you? Maybe the best place to start is with that verse. Writer Marianne Bressler said, if I hear one more person take the phrase, the poor you will always have with you, out of context, almost always as an excuse to avoid asking the hard questions about poverty, I may have to scream. I have heard this statement used countless times as Jesus' prediction of the state of the world. She goes on, the poor will always and forever be here. So don't worry about trying to eliminate poverty. It is clearly God's will. Jesus said so. Now that may seem far-fetched, but just as an example, in 2014, Governor Rick Perry of Texas, in an attempt to explain away income inequality, said, biblically, the poor are always going to be with us in some form or fashion. More recently, Kansas Congressman Roger Marshall said, just like Jesus said, the poor will always be with us. There is a group of people that just aren't going to take care of themselves. Now, lest we think that these are unusual quotes, the simple truth is that these statements have a long and tired history. Jesus' words are a longtime favorite among those who think that there is little sense in trying to help the poor because somehow they have chosen their lot. If they would just work harder, if they would just get a job, they don't want to work, they don't want to have security. In the words of Ebenezer Scrooge, if the poor would rather die, they had better do it and decrease the surplus population. Public theologian Brian McLaren has said, when I speak about the Bible's teaching on poverty, someone almost always asks, but didn't Jesus say the poor you will always have with you? As if to warn us against helping the poor because we might make Jesus a liar. But if we scratch around a little to understand the full context of Jesus' words, we can hear what our Lord was really saying about how we should care for those who are poor. The story in our gospel today is found in two of the other gospels, so it's in John and Matthew and Mark. The location in the story isn't identical, and neither is the identity of the woman. But what does remain constant is Jesus' response to the outrage over his being anointed with expensive perfumed oil. The poor you will have with you always. Based on what we know about Jesus, it seems unlikely that he would be so cavalier about caring for those who are in need. So what else do we know about Jesus? We know that he was a rabbi. He knew his scripture inside and out. He could quote the Bible with the best of them. And he was in a room surrounded by his students, by his disciples and followers. In Hebrew studies, there is a kind of study called remez, which in Hebrew means hint. And in the case of today's text, to understand the remez, to understand the hint, we have to look at the verses just before and just after the one that Jesus quotes. When Jesus said, "You will always have the poor among you," he was actually quoting Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11, which says, "There will always be poor people in the land." The people that were there that day would have known that this was the quotation, and they would have known instantly what came before and what came after verse 11. This is what it says. "If there is among you anyone in need, a member of your community in any of your towns within the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward your needy neighbor. You should rather open your hand, willingly lending enough to meet the need, whatever it may be. Give liberally and be ungrudging when you do so. For on this account, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake. Since there will never cease to be some need on the earth, I therefore command you, open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor in your land." The expectation has always been clear. If we are faithful, we will care for the poor. In Mark's version of the story, Jesus says, "For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish." In other words, there is always going to be a need which we can strive to meet. We cannot separate Jesus from the poor. His preaching and his teaching and even his wallet were focused on the most vulnerable of the community. Our gospel today demonstrates that even this poor, wandering, ragtag group of people who were coming together around Jesus, they kept a common purse and saved money to give to those who were in need. Judas may have been a liar and a thief, but his outburst gives testimony to what the 12 typically did with their money. They cared for the poor. Now, if we keep scratching around at this text, or if we depend on the wisdom of those who read Greek and have written lots of good books, which is what I do, if you look at commentaries on the Gospel of John, you'll find that there is a funny thing in ancient Greek that has to do with grammar. Sometimes, this will only excite those of you who are English majors, sometimes the present indicative form of a word, which just indicates something, there it is, it just states things the way they are. You will always have the poor with you. And sometimes the form of the word that is spelled the same as that present indicative can be a present imperative, which means that the word is commanding you to do something. So in this passage, the word exite, which is translated as "you will have," could be either a statement or a command, because it looks exactly the same in Greek. So either it is "you will always have the poor with you," or "you will always have the poor with you." So maybe we should read Jesus' words not as a statement or as an indication of the way things are, but as a call and a command to do things different. Have the poor with you always, or keep the poor among you always. If you have that understanding locked into the back of your mind, the story looks a little bit different. The disciples and some of Jesus' close friends were eating dinner, and Mary, who we know to be a good friend and sister of the recently resurrected Lazarus, she brings in this pound of very expensive perfume, and would have cost the same amount of money that a minimum wage earner would have made in an entire year. So it's really pricey stuff. And she pours this incredible perfumed oil on Jesus' head and on his feet. It is an anointing scene. And in ancient Palestine, there were two major events that called for an anointing. The two events were a coronation and a burial. In a single moment, Jesus was shown to be a king worthy of anointing at his coronation and it is also clear that he is about to die. Again and again, he has told his followers that he would leave them, and now the time had come. And yet his mission remained in the hands of those who believed him and followed him. "I am going away," Jesus said, "but the poor are always with you. Keep the poor among you always. Don't lose sight of what is important. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget who I am. Keep the poor among you always." In 1963, Dr. King wrote, "God never intended for one group of people to live in superfluous, inordinate wealth, while others live in abject, deadening poverty." He also said, "The curse of poverty has no justification in our age." King believed that we could end poverty in this country, and had he not been killed in 1968, he would have gone on working not just for racial justice, but for economic justice as well. His speeches and writings from the end of his life speak to his belief that the time had come, quote, "for us to civilize ourselves by the total, direct, and immediate abolition of poverty." Whether you agree with his politics or with his methods, what is certain is that too many people in our world go to bed hungry every night. In this country, it is estimated that 1 in 5 children does not have enough to eat every day. We may not be able to solve the problem, but there is always something we can do. We may not be able to buy food to give to the poor, but we can certainly give our time. We can certainly share the story. We can speak, we can teach, we can act. There is always something that we can do, always. This is our calling. The poor we will always have with us. Now the question is, how do we respond? Because this is central to our mission as Christians. Keep the poor with you always.